Hey, it is 4:41, and we're calling to order the meeting of the San Leandro City Council Facilities and Transportation Committee meeting. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Acevedo? Councilmember Bolt is absent. Mayor Gonzalez?
Present. Okay, would you please make your announcement?
After each agenda item is presented, the mayor will ask for committee member comments and then take public comment. You will have 2 minutes to share your comments. A countdown timer will display for the convenience of the speakers.
Again, I do want to apologize to members of the public for being late today. We had competing meetings and quorum issues in multiple locations, so my apologies for that. At this point in time, we'll take any public comment on items that are not on our agenda.
No public comments.
Closing public comment and coming to our discussion item, we've got Recreation and Parks Director Vicente Zuniga here to introduce this item.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, community members. I'm honored to present to you the San Leandro Recreation and Parks Master Plan, a blueprint that reflects not just where we are, but where we want to go together as a city. The plan is rooted in the voices of our community. From the very beginning, we prioritize robust, inclusive, and accessible engagement, and the results speak for themselves. Over 1,100 total survey responses were collected. We hosted multiple public workshops, each averaging an attendance of 50 to 60 residents. The team also participated in pop-up events at cultural festivals like the Moon Festival, MLK Day, and the Cherry Festival, reaching hundreds more. We met directly with stakeholder groups, youth, seniors, educators, maintenance staff, and maintain open channels through our advisory committee and monthly Recreation and Parks Commission updates. This is more than just a plan, it's a reflection of what our community told us they value. Access to nature, safe and welcoming parks, inclusive programming, and investments that reflect equity and sustainability. Every major recommendation in this plan, whether it's trails, shade structures, upgraded play areas, or support for mental and physical wellness, was shaped by that feedback. This afternoon, we're excited to share how we began turning this community's vision into reality. This is the foundation for the next decade of investment in San Leandro parks, programs, and people. And with that, to walk you through some of the highlights of this plan, I have Madison Merrill with WRT, and online, we have Mike Spetz with Pro Consulting. I'm gonna pass it to you, Madison.
Great, thank you. So today I'm going to walk you through the draft Recreation and Parks Master Plan, followed by the Washington Manor Site Specific Plan. So next slide. All right, just starting with a little framing here. Why do a Parks and Recreation Master Plan? This is really an opportunity to step back and really assess your existing parks and recreation system and really understand community needs. And then, you know, combining those two things, that's where we can really establish a clear vision like Vicente was talking about. And the master plan really takes it a step further with identifying, you know, how can we actually implement that vision? Next slide, please. So as Vicente mentioned, there's been an extensive planning process that went along with the development of this document. Lots of public engagement, pop-up events, workshops, advisory committees, and lots of analysis have gone into this with, you know, this process starting in fall of 2023, and here we are nearing the finish line, which is exciting. Next slide. All right, so diving into the plan. The plan has 5 chapters. The first is an executive summary to really just summarize kind of the key elements from the plan. And then chapter 2, our community today, that's really where we get into existing conditions in San Leandro. Our vision and priorities is where we really summarize the engagement process and what the community's vision is. And then chapter 4 is applying those two things and really identifying the needs and opportunities in San Leandro. And then the last chapter, chapter 5, is then how can we actually realize the vision and address the needs of the community. Next slide. So I'm going to just give a brief overview of the highlights of each chapter here. So in the executive summary, we really introduce the process, talk about the importance of recreation and parks. So, you know, why parks and recreation are valued, and also highlights the community's vision for the future at a high level. Next slide, please. Chapter two, our community today. This is really where we inventory all your parks and recreation facilities and dive into the different planning efforts that affect parks and recreation, and then also look at city demographics. Next slide. Here's just some more content here in chapter two, inventorying all your amenities, you know, looking at your demographics from your population growth to different population characteristics such as race, ethnicity, age, and you know how all those things, what all those things mean for recreation. Okay, next slide. Chapter three, our vision and priorities. This really goes into, gives an overview of the engagement process. So as mentioned, there's really an array of engagement activities that occurred throughout the process. And you know, the graph shown on the right is from our community survey that really was really foundational for this project in identifying community need. Next slide. And from this process, these are the key community priorities. The community really talked about, you know, a need for expanded amenities, things like pickleball courts, all abilities play, exercise equipment, community gardens, those sorts of things came up. Also expanded programming offerings that you really are available for all ages and needs, things like adult fitness classes, swim lessons, and things like that came up as needs. There's also interest in increased sense of safety in the parks, improved access, so better bike and pedestrian connections. Open space and trails are also a key priority here. Comfort, so more lighting, seating, shade. Access to school amenities was important. There's a lot of inconsistency in access and just condition for recreation use of school amenities. And then environmental sustainability and improved communication were also of interest to the public. So next slide. Okay, so combining all this information and assessing these things, we were able to identify, you know, what were the key amenities that San Leandro residents are interested in. These things included paved and unpaved trails, walking tracks, shade structures, community gardens, amphitheaters, multi-use fields, sports courts. There's really an array of amenities that both our analysis and the community identified as needs in the community. We also assessed access to parks. So that's what this map is on the right. All areas kind of shaded, hatched in that green color. That's where people have are in walking distance of parks, where the yellow areas are residential areas that aren't accessible to parks. So that was definitely a key finding that, you know, there could be improved accessibility to parks. There's also, we also assessed the level of service for parkland. And currently San Leandro provides 1.5 acres of parkland per 1,000 residents. But, you know, the city's general plan establishes a goal of 5 acres per 1,000 residents. So significantly below that goal, and you know, the master plan, acknowledges this and advises that, you know, we work as hard as we can to get as much parkland to try to, you know, get closer to that objective. Next slide. And then we also identify the opportunities in San Leandro to help meet some of those needs. We look at, you know, how can we better utilize joint use sites with the school district? You know, there's future development opportunities with Bayfair, for example. How can we maybe work to include increased parkland in those areas? And, you know, what opportunities are there on existing city-owned land? Next. And finally, chapter 5 is realizing our vision. This is really where we spell out goals, policies, and recommendations. And we identify recommendations specific, system-wide and also at the site-specific scale. Next. All right, so diving in just a little deeper onto the recommendations here. So there are 7 goals identified in the master plan, and they are followed by related policies and actions. So these slides summarize the goals and the policies, and then there's another step further that talks about the specific actions. But the first goal is really about expanding access to recreation and park opportunities. And how we're going to achieve this is first, leveraging future development, any development that occurs in the city. How can we, ensure that those developers are also helping to provide parks and recreation facilities? The second is also expanding recreation opportunities. This goes beyond parks. It's San Leandro's a built-out community, so. How can we increase recreational access when we don't necessarily have land? So these things include recommendations around trail development and indoor recreation opportunities. And then the last policy is strategically acquiring parkland. So just as opportunities arise, the city should prioritize, acquiring land that makes sense and has recreational value for the community. The second goal is establish strategic partnerships. So this is really about, obviously the biggest opportunity is with the school district. That is a big emphasis of this plan. There's also other partners such as East Bay Regional Park District, Alameda County, and also just collaborating across city departments to make sure that, parks and recreation needs are being addressed at all angles. Next. Goal 3, expand recreational programming. This talks about in the plan, we've identified high need programs and services. So really about, trying to provide those things. Also ensure, that there's adequate facilities to house those programs. And then also to classify services and establish cost recovery goals. And also to just improve evaluation and marketing to ensure, that residents are continuing to know about and receive great programming. Goal 4, improve park experience. This is about improving existing parks. So I'll talk a little bit about this more, but the master plan highlights areas where current parks could be improved. And then in addition to, kind of sort of larger improvements, there's also the importance of improving park comfort. So this is again about shade and seating, and then also improved park sense of safety. So lighting and enforcement and different things like that. Next. Goal 5, equitable and inclusive parks. This is about improving access, again, making sure that all San Leandro residents have access to parks and recreation opportunities, and also that the opportunities that are available are inclusive across the population. And then goal 6 is about public health and climate resilience. How can we, incorporate public health and climate resilience in our parks and recreation and open space systems. Next. And then the last one is about planning and financing of recreation and park systems. So this is more about implementation. How can we have, strong funding and financial management so that way we can actually implement the ideas identified in the plan and then plan and engage proactively. So continuing, the planning process and engaging the community on an ongoing basis. All right, next. To go along with the recommendations, the plan also establishes success metrics to help, really clarify when these objectives are being met. So for example, 1.1, expand recreation opportunities. The metric is that the percent of residents within a half mile of a recreation opportunity, and that includes parks, joint use facilities, trails, and open space. And then the target is that 100% of residents would be by 2035. So, acknowledging that not everyone may be able to be in walking distance of a park, but there are other ways that we could explore to make sure that everyone has access to these things. Next, is just, again, more of the metrics here. We're sensitive on time, so I don't want to dive in deep into these, but all great things here to make sure that we're achieving success with the recommendations. Next, please. One more, next. Next. Okay, and then the last part that I want to touch on about the parks, the Recreation and Parks Master Plan, is the park improvement strategy. So we have classified all existing San Leandro parks into three tiers. The first is Tier A, which is sustaining. So this is about maintaining what we have. So basically, these parks are in pretty good condition. They function pretty well. They're meeting community needs. Really, they just need maybe targeted, like, life cycle replacement or minor updates. The next is Tier B, strategic. This is improving what we have. This is in those instances where there's, like, certain aspects about the park that could use improvement to, you know, really enhance park functionality and amenities and user experience. And then the last one is visionary. This is for the parks that, you know, really aren't meeting community needs or have great opportunity to serve the public better. This is where we could completely re-envision what this park looks like in the future. Next slide. So this is how those San Leandro's parks have been classified. You'll see that, you know, most of them are Tier A. They're in, you know, good condition. They need minimal upgrades, but there are a few in Tier B and C that could use a little updating and a little bit more envisioning. So the master plan actually goes into detail a little bit about different ideas for how these parks should be improved, but ultimately they will require a more in-depth planning process and engagement. Next. Okay, with that, I'm shifting gears to the Washington Manor site-specific master plan. Washington Manor is identified as a Tier C park, so this is really, one of those parks that has opportunities for to better meet community needs. So next slide. So we have assessed Washington Manor Park. We have identified strengths and weaknesses and assessed the quality and functionality of the amenities. Its strengths are, it has, a nice diversity of amenities, and it also has, great shade trees and really functions pretty well as a community park. Some of its weaknesses is, infrastructure is aging, parking is a little limited, especially with the aquatic center, and also lack of access and visibility. Access to the park is somewhat limited with the aquatic center as well. Next. So there was also a lot of community feedback specific for Washington Manor Park. Kind of the key takeaways here were people really value trees and open space. That's very important to them. There's certain amenities need updates, such as the playground, the basketball courts, the sidewalks. There could be better lighting. There's also interest in more native planting and habitat protection. There's also interested in community event spaces, opportunities for programming, arts and crafts, music performances, shaded picnic areas. Picnicking is very popular and want a, better environment for that. The parking lot, again, is a challenge. And then also just more expanded recreational amenities. Ideas included bocce ball, volleyball, badminton, just in a range of ideas there. Next slide. So there's kind of these four design principles that really guided the design. The first is that the park loop is a very fundamental component of the park and is loved. So it's really, the design focuses on building off that and enhancing it. Also focuses on urban biodiversity. So kind of thinking about how we can incorporate different plant types and different experiences throughout the park. And also this kind of gradient of active to passive. So over by the aquatic center is where most of the active uses, where if we go further back away to more the other side of the site, it's more passive sites that are, you know, more about walking and picnicking and kind of more relaxing activities. Next slide. Okay, so this is the concept plan. Key features of the design include improved connectivity, so better, you know, access to the site through all its different entrances, new amenities, which I'll dive in a little bit more here, expanded loop or more like widened loop, so that way, you know, can better accommodate an array of users on the loop trail, a destination play area, upgraded sports facilities, shaded gathering spaces, and native planting and habitat. It also includes a recreation facility where the existing preschool is right now, you know, upgrading that facility and maybe making it more multi-use is the idea. That's included kind of as an optional facility in the concept. Okay, next slide. Here are just some images that are illustrating the different elements. So again, it has a little bit of expanded parking. There's definitely some site constraints to expand the parking significantly, but there's expanded parking on the north end of the parking lot, enhanced planting, enhanced gateways so people really understand when they're arriving at the park, destination play areas, fitness, an improved basketball court. Next slide. Renovated softball field. So this design includes, you know, currently there are two softball fields on either end. This design includes enhancing the one on the, you know, closer to the aquatic center, and then allowing the other space to be more of a passive use that can be used for picnicking and other activities on, you know, unstructured recreation activities. There's also a dog area, a community demonstration garden, and just lots of opportunities for seating and enjoyment. Next. With this, you know, the design is fairly still at a high level, but it's estimated that without the recreation building, it would be about $13 million to improve park improvements, to implement the park improvements. And, you know, this would include really, you know, doing it well and having, you know, great and lasting amenities, including the recreation center. It would be about $18 million, I think that says. All right, next. All right, and then finally, the plan also takes into consideration staffing. So how many full-time equivalents would be needed and how many labor hours, both thinking about if the recreation facility is implemented and if, you know, just for park maintenance. And then there also includes cost recovery. And I think that's the last slide. So perfect timing.
Well, thank you for the presentation. What I'd like to do, hold on just a second. Now let's go ahead and take public comment if we have any on this item. Then we'll come back to discussion amongst ourselves.
Benny Lee, if you can come up.
Mayor, council member, thank you for your service to the city, and also thank you to the staff for putting together a wonderful plan. Generally, I don't come and speak on these items, but then we had communities that reached out to us, non-English speaking immigrant communities. And I want to thank you for putting in the ping pong tables, because these immigrant communities actually had that in their ask. There's another area that they also wanted us to focus on is the Tai Chi area expansion. Former Parks and Recreation and Human Services Director Jeanette Dong actually put the first pad in. It was 3,500 square feet. And sometimes we'll get usage of over 100 Asian seniors out there. They don't speak English. They're very warm folks, and they actually use it. And it is actually promoting that public health that we need for seniors. So we're looking for expansion on that. But also, one of the things that they did ask, and I think you addressed it in some areas, which is the coverage, because I remember the years that I practiced Tai Chi in San Francisco 40 years ago. When it rained, we had to get in under the freeways. I don't want to encourage folks to go to the freeways. Now, there are some other asks that I think that is very critical for the parks. One of the things that we did many years ago was ask for public Wi-Fi in the parks. And you know what? That was very important during the pandemic because pandemic and recession, right? Because it actually addressed a gap that we needed. There's a capital expense to it. It's not significant. And this, the CIO actually did a presentation. We had a half a million users, different devices in a year. And basically, he amounted it that it really cost the city $2 per user for a whole year. That's a benefit. And the last thing I wanted to ask and was, and I'm running out of time, is a memorial for Charlie Gilchrist, who really served the city well and served as a policy advisor for all of us. Thank you.
And if you've got other thoughts, ideas, please make sure that you email them so that we can have them and add it to the list. Thank you.
Lisa Lau.
On behalf of our local Asian seniors, many of them who do not speak English, they're asking for two things, dedicated Tai Chi space and four ping pong tables in Washington Manor Park. So I'm very excited to see that it's on the menu. Currently, the designated Tai Chi areas in Washington Manor Park are frequently occupied, leaving little to no space for seniors to practice during peak hours, such as early mornings and evenings. As a result, many seniors are either forced to practice in less than ideal locations or forego their exercise routine entirely. We're asking for a flat shaded area with a non-slip surface. It doesn't need to be fancy, just functional. And a calm corner of the park where seniors can gather in the morning or early evening to move, breathe, and connect. Secondly, the ping pong tables. Why ping pong? It's fun, low impact, and surprisingly good for you. Studies show that tennis table improves reflexes, coordination, and even brain function, something many of our seniors are eager to maintain. Plus, it brings people together. It's social, competitive, and accessible to almost everyone. We're proposing the installation of four outdoor weather-resistant ping pong tables. We envisioned them set on a paved surface with enough space for safe play. Right now, there's a gap in recreational options for active seniors. These tables will help fill it, offering not just physical activity, but laughter, connection, and community pride. Let's make Washington Manor Park a place where everyone, especially our seniors, feel safe, and then they can play, stay healthy, and feel seen. Thank you.
Okay, so with no more comments, I'll close public comment. I would like to ask, I'm a little bit unclear. Are there some ping pong tables that have started to come out? Just to clarify, was it discussed? I'm just help me understand what, I was a little unclear on what the comment was implying.
Yeah, somebody. So the Washington Manor site-specific plan does show ping pong tables in the concept. And then also it does show an expanded like plaza area with a shade structure that would be appropriate for Tai Chi.
Okay, and then just really quickly, can you go back in the map to show where that expanded potential area for Tai Chi would be?
I can answer that. On the Washington Manor site-specific plan on page 19, item number 6 would be the expanded shaded structure plaza for flexible space for passive events, dancing, music events, and Tai Chi. That's page 19 on the Washington Manor plan.
You were just there. Yeah, it's in there if you want to go back to where you're at.
The map.
Let's go to the concept plan. It is page.
On the presentation, if you go.
Page 30.
Yep.
Yep. And so are you describing the rec building as that space?
So that's it's the rec and recreation building and recreation area. Number seven would be an area composed of shade structures, Terrence. It's a plaza. It's a flexible space for the communities for active and passive events. So it could be special events. It could be act as a stage. It has as dancing, music, or Tai Chi area. And also would they're recommending providing shade for that structure. And then on number nine is the plan also provides some guidance and recommendations for fitness stations and ping pong area as well on number nine.
Okay. So what we're going to do is I want to come to Councilmember Acevedo for questions, comments, and I'll come back to me.
Okay. Thank you for your presentation. As a former Rec and Park Commissioner, I love our parks. They're great. Okay. I have a few questions and some comments. Okay. The dog park we have, our main dog park, how would we go about raising the fence? We had an incident over there probably about 2 weeks ago, where a lady was there with her dog, walking her dog around, and then she left, and a dog jumped over the fence because the fence was too low and bit her in her face. And she actually, the pictures were so gruesome. All you see barely is just her lip hanging there. I mean, I don't mean to get into that, but anyways, I wanted to find out about getting the fence, and the city's not getting no litigation as far as I know. But I wanted to find out about raising the fence over there so that doesn't happen anymore. If somebody's walking by, a dog doesn't jump over the fence and try to attack someone. How would we go about that?
I would have to do an assessment of the specs of the fence. Traditionally, most dog park fences are at least 5 feet. So I would have to confirm with the current height of the fences as well, too. So I would have to do a little more research on that and get back to you on that question.
Okay, thank you. Okay, as former council member mentioned earlier, Benny Lee, about Wi-Fi in parks, how many parks do we have Wi-Fi? When I was on the Rec and Park Commission, we pushed it forward and it went through the city council and passed. How many parks actually have Wi-Fi in them as of now?
I would have to confirm this number, but in a recent meeting with IT, I believe we have 5 parks with public with SL fiber. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, the rest are basically comments. Yeah, I think that we can have some great partnerships with our public schools because we have like James Monroe's right next to Floresta Park, Jefferson's right next to Toyon Park, and Lincoln's right next to Cherrywood. So we have schools that are right there, so that's great. And with getting organizations like the Tai Chi organizations and different groups to organize with us, that'll be great. And I think that's good that we're getting a community demonstration garden park at Washington Manor. Yeah, community gardens, yeah, I think those are always great to have something like that where people can grow stuff and learn how to grow our own, especially with the prices that are supposedly gonna go up with the tariffs. So that's important to be able to grow your own nowadays. Okay, those are my comments. Thank you.
Some thoughts. I do think that we need to, as you've done, lay out that vision for parkland acquisition, particularly as we look to densify San Leandro. So whether that's through as when development happens, being purposeful in making the requirement instead of just in lieu fees. I do think that unless we were to change the objective, that measure of 5 acres per 1,000 people is a noble goal. So is that the number, right? 5 acres per 1,000. We are materially short of that, right? We're only at 30% of that objective. And it's only going to become harder to reach that objective without being purposeful. So I think that, you know, for me, that's like a double star. When I go to the goals as laid out, I think they were purposefully laid out. I like the fact that there are very specific metrics. They're measurable, time-bound, all the things that you want to see in the metrics. So I'm particularly happy about that. I like the map and specifically the objective of being able to be within half a mile of a park. I think the half a mile is walkable for pretty much any child over the age of 7, 8. Right, it's a 10-minute walk for a slow walker, and so I think that that's very kind of it's a very measurable metric that's practical. So I like that a lot. From a, I'll call it serenity of the parks, because part of what I saw, read, what I've experienced in the parks, I was thinking about what are those things that get in the way of the serene getaway experience. The one that comes to mind that I have seen and that people have commented to me about are things like e-bikes and scooters, e-scooters. Not people rolling through the park, but people zipping through the park. And I think it's true on sidewalks. It was just a story this morning on one of the news stations about some folks on an e-bike that had been hit who were on a sidewalk. I heard some statistic that I'm not going to quote accurately, but something to the effect of one of the fastest injuries that are seen in emergency rooms are related to e-bikes, e-scooters, and the like. And so the fact that these vehicles are so powerful, they can actually end up hitting people that are walking and hit people from behind, and just the risk exposure. So being purposeful about how we think about when we have the intersection of young people and older people with different interests, how we make sure that both needs are being met and being met in a safe way. I think that it's the goal about access to school amenities is powerful. I appreciate that focus in particular because although it's not technically within our acreage, it helps soften the deficit if we really have full access to those facilities. And I know that in the passage of multiple school bonds, that's been part of the story. There are legal constraints that the school districts have to deal with, and so we have to be purposeful and mindful about how we work with them. But I think that you get like 3 stars for that. I mean, really good access to those facilities. Again, I have metrics here a second time in my notes. I am grateful for not only the branding that you do, so this, you know, that when we, a lot of presentations are now being done, so that they're brand conforming to our internal branding. You guys are actually out there branding Park and Rec now with your Instagram site and the like. And I think that you drive demand. You help people appreciate the amenities that we do have by posting pictures, by sharing stories. You drive use of the facilities and the use of the programming that you have already enhanced through social media. And so I'm particularly grateful for that. I would be curious whether, you know, that I'll call it the storytelling is part of the implementation plan, because I think you said on page 3 that you provide a roadmap for implementation. I think this is page 30. You can go to page 3. I think that roadmap for implementation, I don't know that we were focused on that here so much today, but is public communication part of that plan?
Yes, there are.
I'm sorry, really quickly, committee clerk, if you can go to page 3. Just by going up. Go ahead, if you can answer.
Yeah. Yes, there are recommendations related to marketing and public communication, specifically, you know, communicating in ways that the public, you know, want to be communicated through. We've learned that through the survey, so that was helpful. But I think we could, you know, add a little bit more detail about storytelling, like you were saying.
So what did you learn? You said we learned a lot through the survey. What did you learn?
Yeah, we learned what specific program platforms people wanted to be communicated through, whether it be social media or, you know, newsletters or emails. And I cannot remember the results explicitly right now, but yeah.
I can jump in. Part of the survey responses in regards to there was a a desire for improved communication to know types of program and offerings, events that were happening. From the feedback that we got from residents, their preferred communication was via city activity guides. Those were very powerful, and we found that to be a powerful way to inform residents of programs, activities, and events. I'm happy to share that we have a redesigned activity guide, and we've actually increased the production to a quarterly guide that we distribute now. They also mentioned that they like to get city emails and newsletters. Those are very powerful as well, too. So I know we've been working collaboratively with the city manager's office, and sure, we're highlighting events and strategic dates or in those newsletters, and also city website. And we've taken on some of those goals and recommendations. We recently launched the redesigned Recreation Parks website as well, too. I encourage everyone to visit it. It's branded with our new branding kit and also with our new recreation logo as well, too. But those were what we heard from the community was we want a hard copy guide that we could open, go through, and review program and circle, yes. And so we're tracking towards that. The newsletter was also something in email blasts, and that's something that we'll look to incorporate it through our registration system as well, which allows us to email newsletters and communication to our ActiveNet users that are enrolled in our class as well.
That's super useful.
We have the consultant online. I wanted to say something.
Okay, please present.
Yeah, this is Mike Stutz from Pros Consulting. I just wanted to add, I think the question was twofold. It was number one, how do people currently learn? And then how they would prefer to learn. So one of the two things that there were two very specific items that people said that they currently learn through that are probably not all that effective. Number one is the newspaper. And then number two is friends and neighbors. And there's nothing wrong with word of mouth. You absolutely want that, but you don't want that to be your voice for carrying your message about all the things that Parks and Recreation does because of two reasons. One, most people just talk about the things that they're most interested in, which may not necessarily align with their audience. And number two, they have a tendency to talk about it after the fact. So I went to a special event and we had fun, and that special event may not occur for another year. So what the community is asking of the city is to be the ones to control the message through the activity guide, through the newsletters, through the email blasts. That way the city can consistently communicate what it needs to communicate ahead of time and not after the fact. And then the only other thing that I would strongly suggest, that you see this all the time, if you like make a reservation on a plane or in a hotel or a rental car or most any other time in which you're committing yourself to a specific thing on a specific date, is you get to automatically add that to a calendar, whether it be on your phone or whether it be on your computer. That is something that not will allow people an opportunity to say, hey, you know what, this special event is coming up in a month, and you read it and you forget about it, or you have to reread it. If you have the ability to kind of add that almost automatically to your calendar, it will stick with people because people live off of their calendars, whether they're on their refrigerator or whether they're on their phone or computer. Those are my only additional thoughts to that. Thank you for indulging me.
No, I really appreciate that, especially the last one, because I do think that increasingly people have, you know, phones or other devices that let them track what they plan to do. And yep. So if we can make it easier for people to remember.
Exactly.
That's just a very powerful thing. I did want to talk very briefly about the Tai Chi space, because I've heard this request before. And it strikes me that instead of waiting for a $5 million building to be built, the immediate ask would be something that's materially smaller, which I think is lay down a concrete pad and cover it with some kind of special vinyl soft surface. We have a large concrete pad called the amphitheater. I've been to Washington Manor Park 30 times in the last 3 years. I don't think I've ever seen anyone using that amphitheater. I'm not saying that it doesn't get used, but I'm saying it's not getting used a lot. And so at least I would encourage you to work with the local community to consider, we even need to pour a new concrete pad. Could we just take our existing pad and repurpose it? Repurpose it in such a way that it really is a multi-use amphitheater. And maybe that would open up the space that's currently the pad for some ping pong tables. So I don't know, just being creative with this space that we have right now. I'll just close by saying thank you. And we've spoken, I know you and I have spoken a lot over time, and I appreciate all the work that's being done. We highlighted at State of the City the significant expansion of the services that we're offering. We're seeing increased engagement from our community. Even, you know, we've got requests from Washington Manor Park. I've gotten a lot of praise about the updates to Washington Manor Park, the you know, redoing of the trails and the basketball courts and the pickleball courts. And so a lot of good things are happening coming out of the Recreation and Parks Department. And so I did want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Any other additional questions? Okay, so with that, we'll close this item. And is there anything else that you need from us on this? And then we'll move to committee member comments on any other topics of interest at this time. Else? No, I just, on the transportation side, I know that we have been pursuing an MTC grant. And as I understand it, that was formally approved yesterday based on some discussions at ACTC immediately before this meeting. So that's good. That's funding that will be used for the MacArthur roundabout. And that's pretty exciting news because that has been in the works for quite a while. So other than that, there's nothing else. I will adjourn this meeting at 5:28. And again, thanking everybody for their patience.